Hey, welcome to Life Church. We pray this blesses you and empowers you for your week ahead. We hope you enjoy this message.
Sitting down because we're going to have a chat today. You know, I normally stand up and have a good wander around and just build my steps and fitness while I talk to you. But today, I am sat down because we're starting a new series, and this series is something that I have been excited about teaching you for months and months and months. And it's time to get to it now. And it could be potentially quite controversial. Yeah, a little ripple of excitement. It could trigger a few things in us, but I think it's really important, particularly in this season, that we talk about it. And what I want to talk to you about over these next coming weeks is money. Money, yes. The theme of this next month is simply this: money. Let's talk about it. And I don't know how you feel about that, and they can be viewed as an awkward topic, but I don't want it to be an awkward topic for us as the people of God. It shouldn't be an awkward topic. I think that's the enemy that has tried to make it an awkward topic, make it a taboo subject, and I think it's really important that we gather around, that we lean in, and we talk about it. So just nudge the person next to you and say, don't leave. Great. Now, as soon as I say the word money, I don't know what you felt or what you thought or what went through your mind. I had this thought in worship. I was like, there'll be somebody in here today who's literally here for the first time. And they'll have said to somebody before they come to church, I'm not coming to church because all they do is talk about money. And then I have just fulfilled it and reinforced that stereotype for you. So number one, you're welcome. Number two, we don't talk about money all the time. We haven't actually had an in-depth, long conversation about finance in this church for several years. And I think it's really important, and it's about time that we did. So I'm sorry I've reinforced that stereotype. Hopefully that you'll hear some good things today, and they'll actually strengthen you rather than put the fear of God into you. So the second part, maybe you heard it and you think, maybe when I say money, you immediately just have a positive response. Maybe you feel sort of strong in your faith, and your testimony of God is one like Yordis just shared, where she's seen again and again the faithfulness of God. And I know I've had multiple conversations with various people in this congregation who would testify to the goodness of God. Doesn't mean they don't still have struggles and challenges, but can testify to that goodness. And maybe when we talk about money and finance, you feel very positive and you feel very good about it. And I would just say to you, if you are in that camp and you feel really strong and positive about what God is doing and how God has moved in you financially, I pray that you would also learn and get a fresh revelation as we study together. But I pray that you would also feel strengthened to share and encourage other people in your world with testimonies like we've just heard from Yordis. Maybe, however, as soon as I said the word money, your first inclination was to grab the coat from the back of your chair and try and get out a fire exit. Maybe that word just fills you with fear. Maybe it's attached to just negativity of guilt or embarrassment or fear, as I say. But none of those feelings are from God. Guilt, shame, embarrassment, none of that comes from God. And I just want to call that out today, because if that is the response that we sense and that we have, I believe God is going to break in. I actually think we are going to see more freedom from us speaking about finance than any other topic this year. Yeah. This is why for months I've been so excited about this, because when I started thinking about it, I honestly believe we're going to see chains fall. We're going to see chains break off people's lives as we press in, off your lives and off people around you and off people who don't even come to this church. We're going to break something in the spirit in our city. We're going to talk about the spiritual atmosphere. I believe there's a poverty spirit over our city and it needs breaking. Yes. And so we're going to press in. We're going to be intentional. We're not going to be embarrassed or feel awkward about it. We're going to have a really good, intentional conversation. Maybe you have a negative sense because of your current circumstance. Maybe you are really up against it financially right now. And again, there should be no fear or condemnation. These are very trying times financially. We understand that. We'll talk a little bit about that later. But maybe your response to the word money actually comes from your past experiences and potentially in church. Maybe not this church, but of other churches that you've attended and experiences you've had in church, which maybe were bad experiences. Maybe it was simply at best a lack of clarity or some confusion. But I know other people who've had poor experiences of discussing and exploring finance in church. So I think it is something that we need to talk about. I hope you agree. And it won't just be me speaking about it. Well, obviously, we have Michael Bethany next week, so he won't be singing about that necessarily. But we'll have a break next week, and then we'll continue on the journey together. Another thing that really reinforced mine and Cheryl and our desire to talk about money is something that happened in kids' church just a month or so ago. Can we give it up, first of all, for our kids' church team? It's doing an amazing job. I am always in awe of our kids' church team. Do a fantastic, fantastic job. And there is still room, by the way, to join our kids' church team. Just so you know, we are still in a position, because we're a very fruitful church, we are still in a position where sadly on a Sunday morning, we still have to turn some families away from our kids' church. The reason for that is that we are being diligent to stay with the legal requirements for numbers and ratios. So if one person volunteers to serve in kids' church, it allows an extra six kids. To be one person allows six more kids to come into kids' church. So maybe you could just do one Sunday a month and you think, I'm not really a kids type person. Hey, you'll have fun, okay? It'll work on your fitness, okay? It's good. So please do get involved with that. But our kids team do an amazing job. But a few weeks ago, Lizzie, our kids pastor, invited the kids to pray and said, kids, we're gonna write something down on prayer cards for us to pray, but you can write anything you want. Just the main thing that is your desire, the main thing that you are praying about right now. Church, over 50% of our kids between the age of 6 and 11, over 50% basically wrote something that related to financial stress in their home. They were either praying for finance in the home or for parents who needed jobs to get jobs. And that just further reinforced, this is why we need to talk about it. It's unsurprising, isn't it, really? In a time we are in a cost of living crisis, our energy bills have all gone up. You can't get away from that. We are in huge inflation. I can't believe the price of my croissants in Morrison's, the way they have risen. Guys, every time I go... mortgage rates just continuing to rise. I know many people in fear of coming off their variable or fixed rate that they've been on over a period and finding out the new rate is a shock to the system. But I honestly believe that as we talk about this, fear is going to lose its hold. Shame is going to lose its hold. Regret will fall away in the name of Jesus. I believe by talking about this that marriages are going to get rescued. And I say that backed up by the facts because I'm not going to read you a statistic because, depends which website you read or where you go to read those statistics. But ultimately, everywhere, every statistic you read will tell you that one of the top reasons for divorce is financial pressure. It's one of the things that brings the most pressure into marriages. So I believe that we're going to see some marriages saved. We're going to see mental well-being raised and increased because finance has a way of putting pressure on you like nothing else can. We're going to see hope rise. We're going to see faith rise. We're going to see expectation grow because God is a good God and He wants His church blessed. So it's no surprise then that in the Bible, there are approximately 500 verses in the Bible relating to prayer, okay? There are about 500 which specifically speak about faith. but about money and possessions, there are over 2,000 scriptures. So even the Bible is saying this is an important topic. Jesus talked about money in 16 of his 38 parables. So just short of half of Jesus' teaching directly to the people was about money. And we're going to learn and explore principles that I believe, because they're from the Bible, work across the board. Some of you need £100 to get through this week. Some of you need to find $250,000 by Wednesday. The principles are the same. The pressure is the same. The number of zeros might be different, but the realities are the same. And the principles of God work through it all. A few other disclaimers. This is going to be the longest introduction to a message ever. And the reason I'm doing that is because I really want us all to get on board and lean in. I'm not rushing. I had a huge plan of everything that I was going to talk about today. And then I cut about 70% of it. Because I'm like, I want us all to walk slowly. I don't want to give anybody a reason to go, well, he's not talking to me. This isn't me. It's all of us, and we're all going to grow together. I want you to know, at the end of this series, we are not taking a special offering. Okay? Just up front. I'm not teaching this because we're working up to, and now here's the ask. There isn't an ask, okay? Every week, we receive an offering. We will continue to receive an offering. That is not the purpose. Okay, you can clap that, yes. No special offering. I'm also not talking about finance with the aim of increasing giving. Now, if giving does increase, we certainly won't be complaining, because as more finance comes into the church, it enables us to do more. And that is amazing. But the primary motive is not that. The primary motive is this, that I believe, and I really believe it's God's heart to see you walk in wisdom and in blessing. And in the area of finance, that is so important. Our mission statement starts when it's based on the Great Commission and speaks about that we are called to grow as disciples of Jesus. Jesus, the Son of God, who spoke about finance in almost half of his parables, that demonstrated to us how important it was. And so this is, as Isaac actually said as we completed the offering, we're not doing this to receive an offering. We're doing this because they're principles that we are going to grow in, not under pressure, but to grow in confidence. I think it's also important to say that, you know, imagine that picture of Jesus in the boat again, you know, and the storm and the wind and the waves came. It's so important. I believe that God is calling us to be the people that would be the peace in the storm for other people in these troubling financial times. So we have a responsibility to the world around us. And this isn't also, I'm telling you many things that this is not before I tell you what it is. This is not a prosperity gospel teaching, but I do believe that the gospel calls us to prosper. The difference being the prosperity gospel teaches us to give to get, which is, for all intents and purposes, telling God how much we love to get. That isn't God's design of giving. It's about our heart and our relationship with him. So this isn't about that, but it's about living that prosperous life. So here we go. We are called to walk in God's blessing and favor. Why? So that we can outwork the purpose of God in our life. Would we all agree with that? Come on, we are all called to walk in his blessing, to walk in his favor, to outwork his assignment. And as I just said, we are all called to be an example to those around us. You know, when the energy bills go up, if everybody else at the playground, at the school gate, all the other mums are freaking out because of the interest rate rise and the energy costs, you got to understand that as a Christian, people are watching for your reaction. If you're freaking out just as much as the same as anybody else, you are actually testifying of God in that moment. But I remember years ago, it stuck with me when I was, don't even know how old, I was doing my finals at university. And it's absolutely ingrained in my brain. I remember queuing up along the corridor at Bradford University, environmental science, yo. I was going into a four-hour exam about about the reclamation of rivers. Yes, I was. And other riveting things. And I was queued up, and everybody's like pacing back and forward and twiddling their pencil, zipping and unzipping their pencil case and just bouncing, you know, just nervous energy. I was just totally calm. And it was the peace of God. It wasn't something that I thought, I will now go and be peaceful. It was just the peace of God. And a number of people said to me, what's wrong with you? I was like, what do you mean? They're like, why are you not nervous? I'm like, I'm good, God's got it. And it wasn't, I wasn't like bragging, I wasn't being, I just genuinely felt, I've got this, and God's got it. And I did well in the exam, praise God. But that's how people are looking to us in the world. How are we reacting? Are we thrown up and down by the winds? But us with Jesus in the boat, how are we doing? We're called to stand on biblical principles and not live in fear, but live in trust and peace. And the enemy is not going to like it. Like I said earlier, all those other things that he will throw at us, he is not going to like it. Our response to this is entirely up to you. Your response, what's also not going to happen at the end of each service, we're not going to say, so here's the challenge. Here's what we want you to do. Here's what I'm asking of you. The way we're going to close each service is to say, okay, let's listen to the Holy Spirit. And we're going to wait and see what the Holy Spirit says to you, because we're all on a journey individually. We're all at different places on that journey, but that's the intention. This really is between you and God. And if this helps you to know, Cheryl and I, as your pastors, it's going to be a shocking statement for some of you, we don't know what you give. Silence. Now, we know what you give. We know what everybody gives, because ultimately we're trying to steer also the church as an organization. We have an incredible team in our finance team and then in our board of trustees that make sure we have budgets and we have financial plans and that we are accountable for the way that we spend money. All of that is in place. But what I mean is, you specifically, we have chosen, and other pastors do it differently and one is not right or wrong, but we have chosen not to know what you individually give. The reason we have done that is twofold. Number one, I don't think we would, but it just protects us. We never want to relate to people based on how much they give. And I would like to think our hearts are pure enough not to, but why take the risk? So now, you might want to tell us what you give. We've had it before where somebody said, look, we just want to stand with you, and so we are going to put £1,000, whatever it is, or this gift, or we're going to be putting this in over the next 12 months to stand with you. Totally, and that's encouraging, and we can then pray for you. But the point is, that's your decision, not ours. So we've made that call. The other reason, and particularly in this situation, is it's hopefully for the benefit to reinforce, this is not for our benefit. This is for you. This is for you to go on a journey with God. Okay, I've finished my introduction now. And we're almost out of time. So it was definitely the right call to go slower. Okay, I'll start. I've got 2 points. We'll see if we get through them both. But we might only get one. But that's fine, because we've got time. It's all good. Okay, so first point that I really want us to consider, and it really revolves around this question. Why is money important to God? Why is money talked about so much in the Bible? Why is it in so many of the Gospels? Of the parables, sorry. We all have to handle money. It's a big part of our life. But surely, especially when it comes to giving, God doesn't need our money. God is not sitting in heaven waiting, thinking, oh, I've ran out of gold to pave this road. I need somebody to drop a bit more in the offering. Like, there's no, just think of it, it's a ridiculous thought. God doesn't need our money. But yet, it's such an important thing. So my question is, what's the thing behind the thing? If it's not really about the money, What's it really, really about? And it's actually, it's about our heart. It's the heart of the matter. It impacts all our lives. And let's be honest, money creates stresses and tensions and choices and complexities. And some of you think, well, if I just had more, I'd be fine. It's not true. Because we can all think of people who have more in their bank account than us, but that doesn't mean their life's any better than ours. And we've all met people who have financially very little, but have hearts full of joy and contentment. So it's not actually related to that. So why is it important? And maybe you think, well, I'm not sure it is tied to our heart. Let me just think about this for a moment. This is actually a great analogy that Pastor Ethan Vance gave me. Pastor Ethan's going to be with us over Excel and preaching that Sunday. He was with us last November. Great man of God from Church on the Move in Oklahoma. He's going to be with us. And he said this to me. He said, imagine, you know, you're driving around Bradford. God bless us. You see some things, don't you? And, you know, that person, somebody overtook me on the path the other day. Literally drove over the path to get around me. I thought, he is late for his tea. And we can have a reaction to those people. So let's say we're driving along and somebody, probably in a Golf GTI, cuts in front of us. Now, two mindsets, okay? Imagine if you are in that car and you've just been told that you've paid your taxes wrong and you actually owe the tax man £20,000. You've just had that call before you got in the car. Then this guy cuts you off, cuts in, beeps, has the audacity to beep his horn as well. How are you going to react? Like saints, I'm sure, but the other side, imagine if just before you got in the car, somebody rang you and said, hey, this is so strange, but you've actually, you've been due this inheritance from somebody you didn't even know, and it's totally tax-free, but tomorrow you're going to get £100,000 in your bank account. That's a nice phone call. Then this guy comes in and cuts you off. Question, does it change how you react? Probably, let's be honest, it probably does. Second, come in, my friend. Welcome. Why? Because, and here's the thing, because it does affect our heart. Whether we say it does or it doesn't, it's clearly, it's done something in us, hasn't it? That sign of stress that's coming or the money that's coming. Why? Because money is attached to our heart. Show me your money, somebody said, and I'll tell you, show me your bank account, and I'll show you where your heart is, someone said. Now, we're not going to ask for that today. But it will show what you value. And the truth is, God is not after your money, but God is after your heart. And the two are linked. Show me your spending, and I'll show you what you value. Whether you might say, well, it's just my food and my heating. Well, they are good things to value. It might be that you love movies and Domino's. That might come up, or too many Uber Eats. You know, it shows what you value. It shows the gym. It shows that your big car payment that goes out. And here's the thing. God is not against you having nice things. God is not against you having a nice car. And we'll talk about that again. But because the Bible promises good things. So these things aren't something to be ashamed of, but it's showing what we value in our world. And so if your spending shows what you value, I think your finances, therefore, are a window into your heart. Your finances show what your value, and your giving shows where your security is. It says in Luke 12:34, just so you know, I'm not making it up, I've read this in the Bible, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Not the other way around, notice. Not where your heart is, there you'll put your treasure. It's your money leads. If you put your money into a stock tomorrow, guess what you're going to what are you going to do tomorrow morning? I'm going to check the stock price, see how it's done. Why? Because you've put your money there. Where you put your treasure is where your heart will go. Your spending will show what you value. What does your finances say about your heart for God? Do your finances say, God, I depend on you? Do your finances say, God, I trust you? Do your finances look like someone who still has not got over the fact that they are saved? Does your finance exercise faith? Hebrews 11 verse 6, without faith we know it is impossible to please God. Have we allowed our faith to be exercised in the area of finance? We know it's faith that activates God. When we get to the end of ourselves, that's where we find him. Does your finance display your purpose to be like Jesus and to see his kingdom come? What I'm saying is, why is money important to God? Because it says so much about our heart. God does, you know, man looks at the outward. We read in Samuel, don't we? Man looks at the outward, but God looks at the heart. God is interested in our heart. Our giving invites us in a journey and an adventure. Your financial habits, but listen, your financial habits, this is really important you get this. Your financial habits will not change how much God loves you. Okay? You could never give in your life. You could mismanage your finances terribly. But the bottom line is, God loves you. It won't change. He can't love you more. He can't love you less. He absolutely is besotted with you and has a plan for your life. But your financial habits will change your experience of his blessing and his provision and the faith adventure that you're on. It's like living next to Disneyland but never going. It's right there. There's an adventure waiting, but you're not experiencing it. Why? Because we haven't allowed God into that part of our world. The second thing that I haven't got time to talk about today, but I'm just going to mention it, is stewardship. When we understand that this is not about, it's not about how much we give, or it's not about where, it's about heart. That's what we're talking about. What's the thing behind the thing? The reason we need to talk about money is because it displays so much of our heart. And the principle of stewardship is that understanding that everything is God's anyway. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. And so what is our response to what we've been given? Our time, our talents, our treasures, it all belongs to God. Everything we are, my life is his, your life is his. What are we going to do with it? And it's really important that with our finances, we make sure they're submitted to godly biblical principles so that we can find beyond that adventure of faith, but also that we make sensible choices. Because we need to use practical wisdom to do budgeting and saving and investing. Some of those are alien concepts to some of us. Some of you have been exercising those for a long time. But God is totally happy to rescue you in situations. And he will pile in and he will do the miraculous. But there's also points where God might say, well, I want to help you with that, but you keep getting yourself into this mess. If we constantly overspend and spend more than we have in our monthly budget, we've created consequences for ourselves. And yes, we can depend on God, but God's saying, yes, but I've given you wisdom as well to build a life. So yes, we stand on faith. Yes, we believe he's going to come through. But in conjunction with good stewardship that says, I'm going to be wise with my finance. I do not need a fifth Domino's pizza this week. I'm going to save, I'm going to give, I'm going to invest, I'm going to budget and plan. And so that's a very rushed explanation of stewardship, but the reason I wanted to say that is that we're going to talk about biblical principles and exercise our faith and get involved like that. But the other thing we're going to do is we are going to create a space for some real practical help. So we're going to have a thing that I have made up called a finance fair. Okay? And in 2 weeks' time, and I'm giving you warning, the dates are on the screen. We're going to do it twice, straight after the service, on the 29th of October and the 5th of November. After our service, we're going to have a finance fair. The idea is that just practical wisdom and help for anybody that needs it. Even if you think you don't need it, come and have a conversation anyway. We are going to have an opportunity to get help from. We've got CAP. We have the amazing charity CAP, Christians Against Poverty, based in this city, doing an amazing job. Many of their employees are sat in these seats. They're going to help us with debt advice and budgeting, that kind of thing. We're also going to have benefit and housing advisors, because maybe there's some benefits out there, or maybe you're unclear as to what you are able to claim and not able to claim. But it's not just for those who feel, I need help with debt, or things are going badly and I'm struggling. Come get help. But it's the other side of it as well. We're going to have some financial advisors, probably mortgage advisors, for people that are thinking, hey, what happens when I come off this rate? What's going to happen? We're going to have members of our church business community up there so that we can strengthen the business community in the church. We're going to have some of our team from our finance department. Maybe you've got questions about, well, can I gift aid? Because gift aid's amazing. We get 25 pence back from the government for every pound you put in the offering. That's amazing, but does it apply to me? It does it for your UK taxpayer, but you can come and get information about that. So all of these opportunities, I just really want us, listen, church, to take off like, oh, I don't want to go and be seen, be talking about. Listen, let's talk about it. Let's get the fear and the guilt off. Come and have a great conversation. Even if you just learn one thing that you could then maybe pass on to somebody else, maybe you need to come and spend time talking with the debt counselors, and it's got nothing to do with you. It's for a member of your family. Can we just have grace for one another? It'll be a judgment-free space. Just come and get the help that you need. I'm giving you 2 weeks' advice so you can think about it. Please don't come with a big stack of paperwork and expect somebody to sort out all your mortgage issues, okay? It's not that moment. Most likely what somebody will do is create an appointment for you to or direct you to access some other services. We're not going to be able to sort everything out in that room all at once. But I just think it's really important that we're going to talk biblical principles. Yes, we're going to stand together, because ultimately I believe that God wants his church walking in wisdom, and he wants his church blessed. Blessed people of God, being an example to those around them, a blessed family of God impacting this city. A blessed people, a blessed church, a blessed city. That's what is going to happen. So I'm standing in faith for that. I hope you are too. And we're going to do this to add some practical wisdom. God is looking for hearts. He is looking for lives to work through. Let's make ourselves available to him and the adventure that he has, that we might be great stewards of all that he's given us, and really believe that we're going to see some amazing things in these days. Amen, church? Amen. Amen. Come on, let's stand together. As I said, we're going to finish today by praying, and we're going to worship a little bit. So let me just pray for you. Father God, we come as your people. Thank you, God, that this whole earth is yours and everything in it. And God, we thank you for all that you have given us. We come with gratitude that you've brought us here for this moment, and all that we have, all the good things in our lives, Father. But at the outset of this journey, God, I just pray by your Holy Spirit, you would speak to each of us individually, that you would challenge us, that you would provoke us, that you would lead us, that you would guide us, that over these coming days and weeks as we dig into this, Father, that we would hear your wisdom, that Holy Spirit, we would hear your voice. God, I pray for anybody right now who is under pressure, anybody that is in fear right now of that envelope in the drawer. God, we just break it in the name of Jesus. We pray bravery, that they would not hide, but they would bring it into the light where your light shines, Father. God, we know that the enemy dwells in the shadows, and we just pray that in every situation, your light would break in. God, I thank you that your blessing follows our obedience, and so I pray over every person that is stepping forward in faith right now, Father God, that this house will be full of testimony after testimony of your provision, of your breakthrough, Father God. Again, we come against fear, we come against shame, we come against regret. And God, I just pray that you give us eyes to see that with fresh expectation and hope, all that you have for us, that heaviness would drop and joy would return, that we would be a shining example as your church of what it is to live a prosperous life in you. And we welcome it, we receive it, speak to our hearts in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.
Thanks for joining us. We pray you feel encouraged by this word. We would love to hear from you, so why not connect with us via the website at lifechurchhome.com or on our socials at Life Church Home. Have a blessed week, and we'll see you soon.